Well, hey, Moose Jaw, and to everyone listening beyond the city limits, welcome.
This is the Moose Jaw Rundown, where we break down what's happening in our city, why it matters, and what's coming up next.
We'll talk city hall, business, community issues, the stuff people are already debating over coffee.
But we're also looking ahead, the opportunities on the horizon, the investments being made, the good things building momentum in our community.
Because there's a lot happening here, and not all of it makes the headlines.
Moose Jaw is growing, evolving, and pushing forward, and we want to spotlight the people and the ideas helping shape that future.
No drama, no noise, just real conversations about where we are
and where we're headed.
So, welcome to the first episode of The Rundown, hosted by me, Gordon Edgar, and by Crystal Froese. You can find each week's episode in article form on our website, mjrundown.com, and we will be creating socials you can follow as well. Other articles will likely pop up there, such as this week's interview with Janie Freese, a longtime volunteer who feels City Council swept the rug from under her and her fellow volunteers by consolidating and limiting all of Moose Jaw's volunteer committees without consultation. But I'm getting ahead of myself, let me explain the structure. Each episode will begin with a news read of six different items from the week, three from me and three from Crystal. We've chosen them based on what we think is important, locally and within that week's time frame. After the week's summary, we'll present an interview, followed by some closing commentary. We hope you'll follow along. Feel free to give us feedback and news tips by emailing tips@mjrundown.com. And here we go. While we're all enjoying this mild February weather, there's a troubling reality beneath the slush. We haven't gotten nearly enough snow this winter to replenish ground moisture. Agronomists are warning that even when snow does melt, frozen ground prevents water from soaking in. It just runs off the surface. The Canadian Drought Monitor shows southwest Saskatchewan rated as abnormally dry, with west central areas in moderate drought. Some farmers got lucky with fall rains before freeze-up, but many areas that stayed dry into autumn and then missed out on winter snow are extremely vulnerable heading into spring. This isn't just an agricultural concern. This affects water supplies, fire risk, and the entire provincial economy. We need real snow, and we need it soon.
Another graduation marked a significant milestone at 2 Canadian Forces Flying Training School at 15 Wing, where Brigadier General Dan Coutts of 2 Canadian Air Division presented operational wings to a new class of pilots, recognizing both the rigorous training required to reach this stage and the families whose steady support made the achievement possible. RCAF tradition of the formal mess dinner was where pilots received a second set of wings tied directly to history. Those wings contain fragments of aluminum from the Handley Page Halifax bomber LW-682, shot down in 1944 with the loss of all crew. It was recovered decades later, and the metal was melted down and incorporated into the wings presented today, a direct link between past sacrifice and current service. For these graduates, it marks the beginning of the next phase of their careers as they continue to serve Canadians and fly with the RCAF.
Next up for me, Saskatchewan Polytechnic announced another 23 faculty layoffs last week and this week, I believe, all faculty members across all four campuses. This brings the total to well over 100 staff cuts since 2025, and they're warning more may come in spring. The official reason? A 40% drop in international student enrollment due to federal caps. But here's what's really troubling. These layoffs continue to expose how dependent our educational institutions have become on international students who pay significantly higher tuition than domestic students. It's just concerning that Canadian students have essentially been left out of the financial equation of our educational institutions. They should serve Saskatchewanians first.
With the recent launch of Moose Jaw Farm and Food Partnership, there's renewed local focus on agriculture and food-based economic development. The province produces significant volumes of wheat, canola, lentils, chickpeas, peas, and oats, much of which has traditionally been exported as raw commodity. Processing more of it here shifts activity into manufacturing. Flour and pasta from wheat, plant-based protein from peas and lentils, oat beverages, and refined canola products. The Saskatchewan Food Centre in Saskatoon is one example. It operates as a food processing innovation hub, offering shared commercial kitchens, specialized equipment, product testing, and scaling support for growing businesses. With Moose Jaw's rail access, Saskatchewan Polytechnic's agricultural programs, and strong regional farming expertise, that kind of model could be explored here as a partnership examines new opportunities for the region.
Last up for me, the disciplinary hearing for former Moose Jaw Police Superintendent Taylor Mickleborough has been postponed again, for the sixth time at least. Originally scheduled for July 2025, they have so far not held a single one, instead canceling each of them literally the day before. Mickleborough was dismissed in October 2024 under Section 60 of the Police Act, but no details about why have been made public. These constant delays strongly suggest that serious negotiations are happening behind closed doors, with both parties clearly motivated to avoid public hearings. That's the opposite of transparency. Whatever Mickleborough did or didn't do, when an organization repeatedly delays public proceedings like this, it's hard to trust their commitment to transparency overall. The public deserves to know what happened with a senior police official.
This month's charitable gaming grants through Lotteries and Gaming Saskatchewan are a welcome news for Moose Jaw and a reminder of how vital our nonprofit sector truly is. Nearly 50 nonprofit organizations across our city are delivering essential services every day, from food security and mental health supports, arts and culture, youth sports, seniors programming, and parks and recreation. They organize the events we love, support families, mentor young people, maintain public spaces, and step in where gaps exist. They stretch limited dollars and rely heavily on volunteers. The reality is this: grants, donations, and fundraising keep these organizations operating. Supporting those efforts ensures Moose Jaw citizens continue to receive the program supports and services they rely on every day.
Here's this week's interview with Janie Fries, a longtime Moose Jaw music educator, heritage advocate, and community builder.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was wondering if we could just start, maybe tell me about the committees, how long they've been around, and how much volunteer time has gone into the work they do, they've done.
Well, I believe the committee has been going for, I'm going to say, since 1981, I believe, and many hours go into any project that the committee puts forth. Anyone who's been sitting on the committee for the past decades is there because they're very, very interested and passionate about preserving and promoting heritage in the city. So I think whenever anyone commits to that committee, they commit more than just the meeting time. They commit legwork and research and put the time in for sure.
What's your understanding of what's changed now with the recent council decision?
Good question. I have to say we still aren't exactly sure, but what we do understand is that City Council took a number of advisory committees and amalgamated them into two committees. And the committee that the Heritage Advisory Committee has become a part of is now, was previously seven different groups. And now it is one that meets only four times per year. And we just feel that that mandate is way too expansive to focus on any project for any of them. But I can really only speak for the Heritage Advisory Committee. But it's way too expansive to address an issue properly, let alone complete a project. So our committee members feel very frustrated, feel that really the rug was just taken out from under us, and in the middle of projects, we've virtually been shut down, and we just don't understand why. We've not been told why. We have asked in our communication with the council, and we have not heard yet what the reason was, if it was financial or if it was a time constraint. I'm guessing it was probably either one of those, and I'm going to guess probably financial, because it seems that money is usually an issue that determines a lot of decisions, not just City Council, but any organization.
In terms of the money, though, these are volunteer committees, aren't they? With volunteers putting in hundreds of hours per year.
That's exactly right. Yes. So that's why it's so confusing. If it is money, is it because the City Hall staff does not have the time or the, you know, the city can't afford to pay them the time that they participate on the committees, because we do have members of City Hall staff attend our meetings, take minutes, advise us as to protocol. So I do understand that when we have a meeting that lasts an hour and a half, that is after 5 o'clock, they do have to either be paid or compensated time in lieu. So in that way, it is financial. But we were not told if that is the reason. I'm just making assumptions here.
So I guess if I were a committee member, having put so much time into this and built a community, community within the community for it, I would be the most frustrated at not having any consultation or communication.
Exactly. Like, there was no plan in place. For example, with the Heritage Advisory Committee, there are 4 members at large. So 2 members, we each have a 2-hour or a 2-year term, but those terms overlap. So 2 people will be years 1 and 2, and the other 2 people will be years 2 and 3, and then they come up for renewal every other year, pretty much. So there's always continuation from one committee to the next, even if members are replaced by someone else. There's always some sort of consistency on that committee. But that didn't happen this time. Everybody is, we were invited to reapply, but basically our terms all came up at the same time. And we had even been asking about that, you know, shouldn't we be reapplying, you know, the 2 people whose term was up? And they said, oh, no, it's all okay for right now. So obviously they knew that this change was coming about, and they were not transparent. That's what's so irritating, is the fact that we had an election about a year and a half ago, and they all ran on, you know, transparency and wanting to be as transparent as possible with the public, and then this happens, and it was not transparent at all.
That's pretty wild, especially for, I mean, these are multi-decade projects that have been invested in.
They are. They're not small projects at all by any stretch of the imagination. They are not small projects. They take years to come to fruition. There are multifaceted in all of the projects, and the fact that there was no transfer of knowledge plan from one group to the next, I can't imagine that things are going to, these projects are going to continue smoothly. And if time is an issue for City Hall staff, if these projects are going to continue, they're going to have to be picking up some of the slack, because they're the ones who have been sitting in on the meetings and have the best ideas to what the projects entail. But if they don't have time, it's not going to happen. And our city depends a lot on Heritage to help run the economic machine of the city. So that's frustrating as well.
Anything you'd like to add while I've got you on the phone?
Well, we're still hoping that there might be changes, but we're not holding our breath. And I can honestly say our committee has run through many, many emotions. I'm not angry about it, but I can tell you the wind has been knocked out of my sails. All of my energy and enthusiasm, I'm thinking, why bother? It's sad, very, very sad.
So you'd say a fatal blow has been struck to the trust there, either way, no matter what happens.
It certainly has, yes, exactly. Even if it's reinstated, can we trust that it's going to continue? And I'm not holding my breath for it to be reinstated at all. I don't think they'll go back on that. But we are still waiting to get an explanation. Yeah. Might be waiting for a while. We'll see.
So we just about finished up the first episode of the Rundown. We talked about soil moisture, Sask Polytechnic, and their continuing layoffs, the ramification of cutting back immigration. We talked about Taylor Mickleborough and his hearings not happening.
And a little bit about our nonprofits and the egg value momentum that's being built in the province, and a little bit of information about the 15-wing graduation, too.
And speaking about Janie Fries and the other Heritage Advisory Committee members and hearing from them, the rug has been pulled out from under their feet. Wrapping up with some discussions of other things, we have, unfortunately, this February melt is inappropriate. It's not coming out at the right time of year, but in terms of the local impact, there's a lot of discussion on Facebook right now about local companies like the Poo Patrol and the fact that, when it's snowing and it's cold outside, you don't really want to rush out there, clean up after your dog, and now it's reemerging. Oh, God, no judgment. Not from here. Just got to take care of the problem, right?
Yeah, for all us pet owners, yep, we're all commiserating together. Yeah, once that beautiful white snow disappears and reveals what's been left out there all winter long, yeah, there's a lot of work coming. I think the part that's probably most disconcerting is the fact that you see lots of this out in public spaces where people aren't picking up after their pets. It really reveals a certain level of laziness amongst pet owners in our city. And I think that's probably one of the topics I see the most often on Facebook when we have a big melt like this, is that really reveals, you know, people just aren't, they're not carrying their little bags. Or probably one of the most annoying things I've seen is those people who have carried bags, but for whatever reason, they don't seem to make it to the garbage can.
Oh, no. Yes, you see the doggy bag, but it's been left someplace random.
I scratch my head.
Yeah, absolutely. Your backyard's one thing, but come on, let's keep our public spaces clean, especially of litter as well. Unfortunately, that's a reality for Canadian cities or cities wherever it snows, as well as the litter emerging out from under the snow.
Yeah, I mean, our city's always windy. And so you can kind of attribute some of that to that factor. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've been part of South Hill Community Association for over a decade. And we, as a group, clean up litter twice a year and have, as I said, for over a decade. And personally, when I'm out on the trails, which I do a lot of, I pick up people's garbage all the time. And I would have to say a significant amount of that is, again, laziness. Absolute 100% laziness. I'm sure the staff at Waccamaw probably pull their hair out when people go down there, enjoy the park and sit and have lunch in a parking lot and then drive away after tossing their fast food containers literally right on the ground. Again, I really can't. You sit and enjoy this beautiful view surrounded in nature, and the last thing you do as you're driving away is huck your stuff out the window. Like, what? I do not, cannot get that one. Yeah, don't get that one.
No, I don't understand. Well, that's pretty much our time for today. Anything else on your mind before we said goodbye for the week of February 2 to 8?
Well, I don't think winter's done yet.
Hope not.
I know it's February and it's melting, but you know, this is Saskatchewan, so yeah, that groundhog, I'm not sure if which one saw its shadow, which one didn't, but it's February, so yeah.
So get your shorts and t-shirts out and skip along the sidewalks while you can, because the cold is almost certainly coming back.
Absolutely.
Coolio, signing off. This has been The Rundown. Thanks for listening.